Hashtag murder may contain explicit and disturbing material and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello!
And welcome to
Hashtag murder.
Woo! I'm Scar.
And I'm Dustin.
And we are millennials who love murder.
All right.
Yeah, Alex and I couldn't get our lives together, so you get another Scar Dust. Yay!
We just got in town. Back in town.
We did. Holy cannoli. Oh, before we get to that, I don't know how we totally forgot the fact that we did trivia night.
Oh, yeah.
That you guys did not do discussed.
You guys did do trivia night.
For our 1 year anniversary.
It was fun.
You and your team won.
We smoked those fools.
You really did. You beat the next closest team was like 12 points away from you.
I felt bad, but we watched an inordinate amount of murder porn between Kayla and I because of you two.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really good time. So if we ever do it again, we will let you all know.
Yeah. We should go back to the Brew Lab anyway. Great little spot here in Charleston.
I know.
Definitely recommend. The food was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good, like beer. Cuban fusion food.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. But anyways, yes, we did just get back in town. It was a very long weekend away at Galen and Terry's.
Yep, for the Easter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot it was a holiday. Good old Zombie Jesus Day.
It's one of my favorites.
I know.
He wants your brains.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Harn Clint went, Mav, and Derek. And I also don't know how this didn't come up whenever we recorded, whenever we got back from Florida. Did we record that? Yeah, because we talked about our trip. Anyways, you remember what the little boy said at SeaWorld?
No, oh, that's saltwater, isn't it?
It's saltwater. We said that no less than 200 times this weekend. It had a really strong resurgence. And if you didn't get that, there was this little boy at SeaWorld.
Straight off from Britain.
Straight from Britain. And he asked his father at the dolphin tank, that's saltwater, isn't it? But he didn't say it like that.
And we loved his accent so fucking much.
I know. I wanted to follow them around the rest of the day. He was a hoot.
Oh, God. That would have been great.
He was a hoot and a half. But anyways, I've got quite the story for you, honey.
Is it bonkers?
It is.
Is it absolutely insane?
It is. It really is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and this was a listener suggestion.
Oh, fun. Okay.
From Miss Charlotte.
Miss Good Charlotte?
Yes, Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte.
And she reached out to us on the Insta and recommended this case that I had never heard of before, and it's a wild ride.
Okay. Well, I've got my seatbelt on.
You're strapped in?
I'm ready to go.
Okay. This is the murder of Jolene Cummings.
Jolene. Jolene.
Jolene. Jolene!
There we go. Apparently everybody's in a bit of a hoopla since Beyoncé did a remake of that song.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she just released her new album on Friday.
She's still doing stuff?
Yeah, she just released a country album.
What?
She's not calling it a country album.
What is happening?
She's not calling it a country album, but it's a country album.
Oh.
And apparently the big thing this weekend for her, what does she call? She's the queen bee. What does she call her? The beehive?
I guess
apparently
so.
They were doing themed dress-up parties, listening parties.
Oh.
Dressing up as cowboys and cowgirls.
Yeah.
So, yeah, apparently that was the big thing this weekend that we did not participate in.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I bet if Harley would have known that, she would have been all over it.
I'm surprised she didn't know about that. But then again, she does have an 18-month-old.
Oh, my God.
Who is hell on wheels.
He does not sit down.
No.
He's either 0 or 100. There is no in between. Either he's asleep.
Or he's going, doing, moving, shaking, breaking something. Holy hell. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Never understood. My parents are always like, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. I had a brief taste of it this weekend. And
yeah, 3 days of Maverick.
I'm fucking tired for you people. All right.
We got home and had to take a nap.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right. Yeah. So, Miss Jolene.
Yes. And it's, did you say bananas earlier? Because I literally wrote, this one is bananas. An entire barrel of bananas. A bucket of bananas.
Oh, my God. Oh, honey, you are.
And we're going back to goddamn Florida. We were just in Florida for the last one that we recorded was Mike Williams. And this is very disturbing. Yay. Let's do it. We are starting out in Fernandina Beach, Florida. This is a cute little beach town on Amelia Island on the northeast part of the state, which is on the way back to St. Augustine.
Which was pretty cool spot. All right. Yeah. Okay.
It's just north of Jacksonville. Once again, it's a very small town. Everybody knows everybody.
Okay.
May 14th, 2018, which is my mother's birthday, Nassau County Dispatch receives a call from a lady named Ann Johnson. Ann is calling in a missing persons report for her 34-year-old daughter, Jolene Cummings. She goes on to say that no one had any contact with Jolene since May 12th, which was 2 days prior, because Jolene was supposed to meet up with her ex-husband at a nearby Winn-Dixie to pick up her children after visiting with him for the week, which was very unlike Jolene. Not only had she never missed a handoff for the kids, but May 13th was Mother's Day that year, which was also Jolene's birthday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I gotta say, I don't see a mom missing the kid pickup handoff.
On their birthday.
On Mother's Day.
And Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not slipping the old noggin. Not only that, just no mom is gonna miss unless they're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, picking up the kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, a little bit on Jolene. Jolene Rebecca Jensen was born May 13th, 1984. 2 years younger than you.
I got nothing for you. You trying to say I'm old or something. So when she was 34, I was...
36!
Yeah.
Why'd you look at me like that?
Because I thought for sure you were going to
get it. Is it because I'm not 36?
No, you're not. Yet.
4 more years. Jolene was the only child to her mother, Anne, and her stepfather. Jolene was joyful and energetic, had blonde hair, big blue eyes, and had a magnetic personality with a large circle of friends.
Okay, cool.
After Jolene graduated from high school, she went off to cosmetology school with hopes of owning her own salon one day back in Fernandina Beach.
So she went to high school in this same small town?
Yes, this is where she's from.
Okay. Lived there her whole life?
Yes. While Jolene was away at beauty school, she found love that was short-lived and gave birth to a daughter whom she would raise on her own. When she returned to her beach hometown, Jolene got a job at Tangle's Hair Salon, where fellow co-workers described her as, quote, the light of the salon, end quote.
I like the name Tangle's.
Isn't that fun?
It's pretty fun.
Tangle's Hair Salon.
Honestly, kind of sounds like a strip club kind of thing. And me and the boys, we're going to Tangles.
We're heading down to Tangles
tonight. Tangles Hair Salon, okay.
And what should you never do, honey?
You should never light up a room.
You should never light up a room.
Is that bad?
That's bad.
So I'm fucked.
You are fucked.
I should never have a big circle of friends or light up rooms.
Correct. That is a recipe for murder.
Great. Well, I don't have a big circle of friends.
Bigger than mine. The gang's all here.
The gang's all here?
oh my God. Okay. So Jolene was very much a people person and she was very good at what she did. She also promoted herself on social media and gained a good bit of clients by showing off her work on the Instagram and the Face Space.
Insta Twitter snaps.
Yes. So Jolene is living her best life. And it's her and her daughter, and she's got this great job that she excels in, and she meets a new man named Jason Cummings.
Okay.
Jolene and Jason fell in love, and Jolene gave birth to their first son in 2013.
So this is child number two?
Yes.
And does baby daddy of number one child, is that the ex-husband, or they were never married?
They were never married. And the couple got married, and then she had a second son in 2015.
Okay. Two boys, one girl.
Yep. Jolene loved being a mother, and being the Taurus that she is, she was great at it, and her children always came first in her life.
Okay. I don't know anything about the signs,
honey. I know, honey.
I'm worthless to you.
Tauri are very loving and caring.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not me.
No, you're a Sagittarius. I don't know what you guys are. And I'm an Aquarii.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what I am either, honey.
Oh, honey, I'll break out the horoscope book after we're done here. Shortly after the birth of their second son, the once picture-perfect relationship began to shift. After a long 2 years of trying to work things out, the two went separate ways in 2017. For now, Jolene had full custody of all three kids, but Justin did have visitation rights.
Okay, so...
So that wasn't like court order. They were just like, I'm going to keep them and you can visit take them.
Yeah, this is what's trying to do what's best.
Soon after the separation, Jolene met someone new, and none of her girlfriends or family really knew who this guy was. She was kind of keeping this relationship under wraps, but everyone could tell that Jolene was happy with this new guy friend.
So Justin is who she was supposed to meet at the Winn-Dixie.
Yes.
Okay.
The father of the
boys. Father of the two boys. Okay.
So now she has this new guy friend in 2017.
A mystery Mandingo warrior.
Yes. Which, little red flaggy to not tell your family or friends about this person?
Well, I mean, that in and of itself doesn't red flag me. Maybe he's way older than her or way younger than her, or maybe he's not a he and she's embarrassed, or...
I met your mother on date 2, honey.
You did?
I did.
Oh, you stuck around, huh? From that point on, that shit's all on you.
I know. I take full responsibility.
You're goddamn right you do.
So, soon after the separation, Jolene met someone new. Goddamn it.
We've already been here.
So, everything in Jolene's life seems to be falling into place. She has her adorable 3 children, she lives and works in her hometown, she met someone new as far as dating goes, and now it's May 14th of 2018, and she is nowhere to be found.
Okay. Man, we have no idea what this dude's name is. We just know Justin was not met to pick up the churn.
Correct. Nassau County Police start their search by speaking with Jason, Jolene's soon-to-be ex-husband.
Jason? I thought you said Justin.
It's definitely Jason.
For fucking hell. I'm trying so hard to pay attention, and you're killing me here. All right, Jason.
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 Yes, soon-to-be ex-husband. The divorce hadn't been finalized yet, and the custody was still kind of up in the air. Automatically, he's suspect number 1.
Yeah.
Jason admits that he and Jolene had a lot of verbal arguments, but there was never any physical violence. Jason had an alibi for the night of the 12th. He said he was with some friends all weekend, which, like, didn't he have his kids all weekend?
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
So he was with friends and children all weekend? I don't know. Jason handed over his cell phone and let police check his vehicle. Both were dead ends. Nothing suspicious on the phone or in the car. Now, before Jason's interview is over, he asks the interrogator a question. He wants to know what's up with new Jason, Jolene's new boo thing.
Oh, so his name's Jason as well.
It is.
Okay, so
we have Jason number 1.
Let's call him Baby Daddy.
Baby Daddy Jason
and new Jason.
Because he had heard some not so great things about this guy through the grapevine.
Because it's a small fucking town.
Yep, everybody knows everybody. But detectives don't have any information for him, but he's the next interviewee on the list.
All right. Who the hell is new Jason?
Yeah. So the last place Jolene had been seen was at Tangle's Hair Salon, where she worked, on May 12th. Police speak with the salon owner and get the names of everyone who worked that day. Along with Jolene, a lady named Ann Morgan was there, who'd worked there for about 10 years, and a newer employee who had only worked there for a few months named Jennifer Seibert. The owner of the salon stated that Jennifer and Jolene closed down the shop at 5 p.m. on the 12th, and that's the last she or anyone there had seen Jolene. Jolene's vehicle was not in the parking lot. There were security cameras in the parking lot, but guess what?
They were not fucking working.
They weren't working. Are they ever working?
Well, even if they are working, it looks like they're being shot from the other side of the fucking earth.
They're grainy as fuck.
Yeah, we can get picture-perfect things from fucking Mars, and then we get crime scene video that is like...
Like, is that Bigfoot, or what is that our perp?
It's so grainy. It's like, are these from the 80s? All right. God damn it. So the fucking cameras aren't working. All right.
Yep. So police tried to ping Jolene's cell phone, but couldn't get a location for that either. They also checked bank records and social media accounts. They got nothing to go on.
So no money's being spent.
Nope.
So phone's either dead or off.
Correct.
Okay.
Police then get into contact with the coworker who helped shut down the salon with Jolene on the 12th, named Jennifer.
Okay.
To which Jennifer responds that she can't be involved in any sort of police investigation because she is a stalker. And that the stalker would find her if her name was input into any sort of federal database.
Who the fuck is this stalker?
Yeah, which is weird. Like, maybe we should...
help you.
Maybe we'll sidetrack into this a little bit.
We got other guys, and we can put on this whole stalker thing that you got going on. Side quest.
Yeah. But Jennifer does go on to say that she doesn't really know Jolene, and that she was acting normal that day, and nothing really seemed out of the ordinary.
All right, Jennifer's weird.
Jennifer is weird.
Putting a flag in that one. We're going to mark that one.
Jennifer's weird.
Okay.
Police now start to dig into Jolene's personal life and see that she had reported a domestic situation on May 9th. So 3 days before she went missing.
Okay, and this is with new Jason, I'm assuming.
Yes. New Jason, Jason G.
Jason G.
G-E-E.
Really? It's literally G?
It's literally G.
Oh, get the fuck out. Okay.
Apparently he had come over to her house that day and asked to spend the night, and Jolene said no, and things escalated from there. Don't know exactly what happened at this point, but it was bad enough to call 911.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right, well, not liking this guy so far.
No. So authorities go to check Jolene's house to see if she left any clues behind, and they let themselves in as a welfare check, and the house is a complete mess. It's dirty, there's clothes everywhere, there's dishes everywhere, there's holes in the walls, cabinet doors are barely hanging onto the hinges. Which, new Jason actually did that on the 9th.
Whoa, he wrecked the house.
Yeah. Well, okay, so...
or was she just not a clean person?
She wasn't the tidiest person, but he did rip the doors off the things and punch holes in the walls.
How come when people punch holes in, these assholes never hit a stud?
I know.
They never hit a stud.
Always just into the drywall.
God damn it.
I know. But yeah, so they... contacted another officer, and the other officer's like, yeah, the house is just kind of always that way, except for the doors and the holes in
the fucking wall.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so they want to get in contact with not-so-good new guy, friend Jason G.
And let me guess, he is nowhere to be found.
So police don't have a super great feeling about him and want to get some info out of him, but it turns out new Jason is kind of a hard man to track down. He didn't answer phone calls. He never seemed to be home. It's always as if he's trying to avoid speaking with the authorities.
Well, I mean, I gotta say, it wouldn't be super high on my priority list either.
Yeah.
You know?
But another reason why Jason was so hard to get a hold of was because he had an active warrant out for his arrest for violation of his probation.
So he really is a piece of shit.
Yeah, so old Jason...
he's like, hey...
baby daddy Jason was correct about new Jason.
Yeah.
That he's bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah, so police get a tip that new Jason might be staying with a relative in nearby Hilliard, Florida. They got to this relative's house, and they find new Jason hiding under some boxes in a back bedroom.
Oh, that's fun.
This man has clearly never played hide and seek.
God damn it. and the person who didn't be like, yeah, he's over there in the box, you're aiding and abetting.
Yeah.
And I know it's your family member, but,
Yeah. I did play a lot of hide and seek as a child. Did you ever play Sardines?
Never even heard of Sardines.
What's hide and seek? Everyone hides and one person finds them? So Sardines is where everyone hides and one person tries to find them.
That's hide and seek.
Or no, the opposite.
One person hides and everybody tries to find that one person?
Yes, and then whenever you find them, you hide with them.
Oh.
Yeah. It was great.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, that was like my favorite game to play as a child. Anyway, so new Jason is promptly arrested and brought in for questioning. And this man just, I'm sorry, but he looks like a complete loser from the get-go.
Oh, can we pause this so I can see what this guy looks like?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on, let me grab my phone. He's not the American basketball coach, is he?
No. Wait, maybe I'll show, because don't look it up, because I don't want to give it away.
I need to see what this douchebag looks like. And actually, I want to see what she looks like. Jason G, American basketball coach, apparently. Oh, for fuck's sakes. She's cute.
She's very cute. She's very pretty.
Wow. Okay.
Big forehead. Okay.
I think of methamphetamine when I see his face.
Yeah. Yeah, and lots of drugs. So Jolene's friends did say that she didn't always have the best taste in men and that she could always do so much better, which I... based on literally just looks, I would have to agree.
Well, that and the fact that we know now that he has got He's been arrested and served time in jail and is out on parole.
Yeah.
Not saying that everybody that's ever gone to jail or that is out on parole is a piece of shit. But.
Not cute. So new Jason is in custody and is under arrest. So like he literally can't leave and will be questioned. New Jason goes on to say that he and Jolene met about a year ago at a little get-together that she threw, and things grew from there. And that the last time he saw Jolene was the night of the argument on the 9th, whenever she called the cops on him.
Where you fucked up the house.
Yeah. Yeah. And he last spoke to Jolene on that Saturday via text around 3:50 or 3:57 p.m.
That's very precise.
Very specific. He literally gave those two times.
Not nearly, right around 4.
Nope, 3:50 or 3:57.
Okay.
And that Jolene was still at work. The detective asks if he can see his phone, to which Jason says he doesn't have it on him, but he's sure they can get records from the cell phone company.
Mm-hmm.
Looking a little suspicious, new Jace.
Mm-hmm. Because who doesn't have their cell phone on them?
Yeah, even if you are being arrested and detained, your phone's probably in your pocket. He stated that his phone was either at his aunt's house or his cousin's house, but he wasn't sure which, and that he'd taken the battery out of it.
Which everybody does.
Everyone removes the battery from their phone. 100%
of the
time. All the time.
Jesus Christ.
And then I put, was it a flip phone? Was it a Galaxy J series?
Yeah, like...
I need to know what kind of phone this was.
Because nowadays, these new fancy phones...
I know, they don't come out. Okay, but anyways, new Jason claims that he took the battery out of his phone because he knew he had a warrant out for his arrest and he didn't want to be tracked down, and that he has nothing to do with Jolene being missing, and the detectives are just not buying what he's trying to sell them.
Yeah, because he's peddling a bunch of bullshit right now, it sounds like.
Yeah, but he also doesn't really have any information on Jolene, really? So
we're going to circle back to this
We'll get back to it.
Okay.
So with new Jason in jail, authorities circle back to the last place that Jolene was seen, at the Tangles Hair Salon.
With strange Jennifer.
Yes. With strange Jennifer and Anne and the owner. And by this point, old Jason has been completely cleared. Baby daddy Jason.
And he's got the kids.
Yes. And he actually was with friends with the kids that weekend.
Okay. I mean, completely plausible.
Yeah, but they're still keeping an eye on new Jason. So at the salon, police are speaking with the owner, trying to get any more information from the last day that Jolene was seen. While speaking with the owner, Jennifer Seibert, the other co-worker Jolene worked with that day, walks in for a shift. Detectives want to speak with her as well, and Jennifer makes it very clear that once again, she cannot be involved in any sort of criminal investigation due to the fact that her stalker will be able to find her. She apologizes profusely, leaves the salon, and tells her owner that she has to quit and to mail her her final check.
Whoa.
Which is...
That's bonkers right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know what? I'm out of here. Just mail me my final check.
Now, you may not have been close with her... But she was a coworker. You stood next to her for hours on end for at least a couple months, it sounds like. And, okay, now we're following this motherfucker.
Yeah. So police had issued an APB for Jolene's car, and they get their first big break in the case. Someone calls the police to let them know that they think that they saw Jolene's vehicle in a Home Depot parking lot. Lo and behold, the car was there. And this Home Depot is approximately, or maybe very specifically, 2.31 miles from Tangle Salon.
That's very precise, honey.
I looked it up and I put approximately instead of just 2.31 miles.
Well, Home Depot will have fucking cameras.
They will. So, and this Home Depot is off the same main road as Tangle Salon. So police search the car and they don't really find anything of value, but now they probably have her last known whereabouts. And what does Home Depot have?
Cameras.
They do.
Because that's where the pretty people shop.
It is.
Yeah.
Not Lowe's. That's Walmart. Walmart is Lowe's. Target is Home Depot.
I feel more comfortable at Walmart and Lowe's, so I gotta say.
I do, too.
All right. Those are my people.
I know. It's true.
And I make a trip to Lowe's every fucking day.
That's also true. Several times a day. Every time you call me, I'm like, hey, hon, you going to Lowe's?
I went twice today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, honey. Oh, God. But actually, we're not going to focus on Home Depot's cameras. Honestly, I don't know if Home Depot's cameras were working.
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
But the bank across the street, their cameras were working.
Okay.
So a camera catches Jolene's car being driven into the Home Depot parking lot at 1:17 a.m. on May 13th. I was
gonna say, if they drove it into the Home Depot, that would have set off more flags. We'd have definitely noticed.
I think we would have noticed.
We would have noticed a lot sooner that shit has gone awry.
And about a minute later, someone exits the vehicle from the driver's side. Unfortunately, the video is very grainy, so you can't tell who it is. But the person is making their way to a nearby gas station. And the cameras at this gas station are extremely clear and very sharp. So good job, gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And on the video, police can clearly see the person walking up from the other side of the road from the Home Depot parking lot. And the person is dressed in all black, head to toe.
Jason G.
No, sir.
Whoa.
Take another guess.
Is it old Jason?
No.
Dressed in all black. It's Jennifer.
It is Jennifer.
Oh, boy.
Little miss, I can't talk to the police because my stalker will find me, Jennifer.
Oh, boy. We did flag that she is one.
We did put up a little flag for that.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So the next day, on May 16th, detectives go back to the hair salon to get a closer look at everything. And the salon has been closed since Jolene went missing. So if there is evidence to find, it would probably still be there.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder, did the owner just decide to do that? So, okay, cool.
I believe they were closed on Sundays, and then she didn't have anybody to work on Monday, so she just didn't open.
Okay.
Yeah. So the crime scene investigators break out the luminol, and that place lit up like a goddamn Christmas tree.
Because there's no cameras at the hair salon.
There are not. No. Okay. So the floor, the walls, the mop all had traces of blood evidence.
Oh, boy.
So the investigators send off the blood for DNA testing and start looking into Jennifer Seibert. They pull out an APB for her vehicle now and try to trace her cell phone, and they get a hit on her cell and track her to nearby St. Johns County. Oh, and apparently they'd gone to the address on file for her from the salon. Fake address.
Fake. Okay, I was gonna say. So, she don't give a shit about that check.
No.
Fuck that check.
Also, this was her fifth job in the past 6 months.
All right, either she is running from something or she is into some very nefarious shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a good track record.
No.
So they start scouring St. Johns County, specifically looking for places where someone would park their car to sleep in it for the night. One detective searches at night and goes to a rest stop, fully not expecting to find Jennifer's car, but there it was.
Oh, please say she's in it.
Her black Kia Soul parked between two semi-trucks.
Not conspicuous at all.
Also, Kia Souls are a crime. I can't with a Kia Soul. The little hamsters, no.
Oh, okay. Little bubble car.
So the detective calls it in and two other detectives join her so they can approach the vehicle. And I was watching this show and I was like panicking. I was like, yeah, they're going to go to the car and she's going to be in it. So they shine their flashlights in the back of the SUV and they see what appears to be someone sleeping in the back seat. They knock on the windows and the person wakes up and they instruct her to exit the vehicle. And it is, in fact, Jennifer Seibert.
Okay.
Detectives clock that she has a nasty cut on her face whenever she exits the car, which she explains away as, quote, I was riding my bike and I ran into a tree branch, end quote.
Well, okay.
I literally put okay with several Y's. They ask if she's ever been in Jolene Cummings' vehicle, to which she says no. And the detectives say, well, we don't believe you. To which Jennifer says, well, if you don't believe me, I guess I need a lawyer. And here we go.
Okay. Well, at least she was smart enough to fucking say I need a lawyer.
That's true. I know. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
So Jennifer is placed under arrest and transported to the St. Johns County Jail. Jennifer is being charged of criminal theft of Jolene's vehicle because, you know, just because she moved the car doesn't make her a murderer.
Okay. So we're going to fingerprint her now and...
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to the fingerprints. Investigators want to take a look at all surveillance footage from around the area of the hair salon. And there just so happens to be a camera that faces the alleyway behind the shopping center, and it's pointed at the dumpster area.
Okay, that's going to be convenient.
They review the footage from the 12th, and what do you know? We can clearly see Jennifer throwing away large, heavy garbage bags in those dumpsters long after the salon had closed for the day. And unfortunately, they also see a dump truck stop to empty the dumpster on May 14th at 10:03 a.m., which was 2 hours after Jolene had been reported missing.
Damn.
Can you imagine being that truck driver having... Well, we haven't gotten to it yet. So, investigators contact the garbage dump people and ask them to narrow down where that particular truck might have dumped the trash that day. And I don't know anything about dumps, but I'm assuming they are pretty hard to keep track of.
Well, they normally, they fill them in a systematic order, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's a lot,
though. It's a lot. I mean, we're talking about a whole garbage truck full of trash and times however many.
Times 50, or,
you know.
The whole town probably takes their trash to this one dump.
Absolutely. Hell, maybe more than one town.
Yeah, because it's small. It's a little town.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, authorities search Jennifer's vehicle. They find Jennifer's hairstyling kit containing a couple pair of scissors and combs, and they find a teeny tiny blood stain on the middle of the scissors.
You mean the perfect murder weapons?
Yes.
Because they're very stabby.
They are. And they run the blood, and it is Jolene's blood.
I mean, that could still be Jolene borrowed my scissors.
She cut her finger.
She cut her finger. You know, I'm horrible at my job, so I didn't really clean them very well.
Yeah. They also find a Walmart receipt from May 12th around 9 p.m. And on this quick Walmart run, Jennifer had purchased A, ammonia, B, large trash bags, C, plastic gloves, and D, an electric carving knife.
You mean a body disposal kit?
Yes. A murder cleanup kit, if you will.
Oh, boy.
So detectives are now fairly certain that Jennifer stabbed Jolene to death with her hair-cutting scissors, went to Walmart to get the cleanup kit, and then proceeded to dismember Jolene's body and then threw her remains away in individual garbage bags like trash, which is horrific.
Yeah.
Now, this story in itself is pretty wild and disturbing, and what happened to poor Jolene is
tragic,
truly heartbreaking, and I feel for her three children and her parents, but this is just the beginning of the bizarreness of this case.
Okay, well, we haven't gotten a confession yet.
Not yet. So, Jennifer is in custody for stealing Jolene's truck. That's it. Nothing else. You had her car.
You weren't supposed to. You left it in the middle of the parking lot, and then you've gone on the lam, basically.
Yeah, so investigators go to the dump to look for any sort of evidence that Jolene's remains or anything having to do with the crime were there, but this place is huge, and one of the investigators said that it was just an inconceivable amount of trash that they sifted through and didn't find a damn thing.
I'm wondering, you know, they probably brought cadaver dogs out there as well.
Oh, the whole nine.
But it's a fucking, it smells like death.
It's a dump.
It's a dump.
Of everything.
I wonder, like, if they got lucky and checked the dumpster and maybe there was some blood leakage or something there. I mean, God.
They had to have, but
how much fucking blood? I mean, like, when you're carving somebody up, like.
But once you're dead, you stop.
Yeah, but you're going to be cutting off legs and stuff like that. So any blood that's in the legs is going to ooze out. You're cutting off arms. I'm assuming there's going to be a shitload of blood.
Yeah, it's really bad. So detectives are really just kind of scratching their heads on what the motive was here. They interview Jolene's coworkers to get a better feel for her and Jennifer's working relationship. Everyone stated that everything was fine between them whenever Jennifer first started.
Oh.
But things quickly went downhill, and there was a lot of tension between the two of them. Jolene was well-liked and had all of these regular clients and was making a lot of money, and Jennifer didn't have the connections to the town or her clients just yet, and she was extremely jealous of Jolene. Jolene had even complained to her coworkers, Crystal and Anne, saying that Jennifer was a total weirdo, and Anne said that the Friday before Jolene disappeared, her and Jennifer were arguing, and Jolene confided in Anne that there was something really wrong with Jennifer, but she couldn't quite put her finger on it.
Okay. I wonder if she had told them about this stalker person, too, and that everybody's out to get her, and I gotta change jobs every 5 weeks, and
I don't think so, because that was the first time we heard anything. Yeah. And none of the coworkers said anything about that, which I don't know if that's something that you would just openly share without knowing people.
Yeah.
I guess.
But you're standing next to each other
all day. 8 hours, at least. I mean, cutting hair. Got nothing else to do but talk.
Listen to the radio and talk.
Yeah. So during this argument, Jolene told Jennifer that she is not who she says she is and that she is going to get to the bottom of things.
Oh, no. Oh. She's going to blow her cover.
Oh, Jolene. Okay, so Jennifer is in custody and is brought to the interrogation room, and Jennifer starts out this conversation very casually by saying, "Hey, just to let you know, when you run my fingerprints, they're gonna come up as belonging to Kimberly Lee Kessler, and that she was born on May 9th, 1968, and that she's 50 years old, and that she has been running from the FBI for over 25 years. Ma'am."
Excuse me?
So the detectives are like, what? What now?
How old is Jennifer?
So 1968.
No, she would have been, that sound, the 50 years old is correct, but is that old Jennifer actually is?
We'll get to it.
Oh, for fuck's sakes, woman.
Because it's, we'll get to
it. It's pertinent.
Okay. Yes. So Jennifer, a.k.a. Kimberly, goes on to say that she is from Butler, Pennsylvania, and that she was a cheerleader and really popular in high school, and that one day her mom just went crazy on her and she turned to her friends to take her in, and then she dropped out of high school and left Pennsylvania for good. She started her new life in Phoenix, Arizona as a dancer at a topless bar and meets a man, and the two start a relationship. And that at some point, the guy was on the phone with someone, and after he hung up, he told her that the FBI was looking for her and him because he was a bank robber.
Okay.
So, she hid him at her apartment, and the FBI has been looking for her and him ever since.
I'm calling bullshit.
And that when that relationship ended, the one with the bank robber, Kimberly changed her name and went on the run. And she did a lot of things. She got her real estate license. She drove a semi for a while. She ran from town to town, job to job, just trying to evade this guy that she met in Phoenix and the FBI.
He's a bank robber. He's not... How the fuck does she think he's going to find her?
I don't know.
If he is, in fact,
I don't even know if this is real.
Yeah. If this guy actually fucking exists.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So she's Looney Tunes.
Oh, all the way. The most Looney Tunes one could be. So then the investigators switch the conversation from talking about her to talking about Jolene, to which Kimberly slash Jennifer is like, "Nah, I don't know anything about her, and I don't know what else to tell you."
Is her lawyer in the room?
I don't think so. She did ask for one, but I don't think there's one here right now.
So she must have waived.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But I think it was just her in the room.
Interesting.
So investigators now have all of this new information on Kimberly slash Jennifer. Jenberly, if you will.
Thinking Kimberfer.
Kimberfer, that's better. And now they're like, who the fuck is this chick?
Yeah, seriously, because she sounds like she's fucking, she's way out there.
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go. So they begin by searching for Jennifer Marie Seibert. And they find information on Jennifer. She was born September 5th, 1974, and had been in a car wreck in Rheinbert, Germany, where she had died at the age of 13.
Okay, so she's stolen somebody's identity.
She did. And Jennifer was buried in the North Cemetery in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Probably near where she was from.
Which is where she's from. And investigators called the real Jennifer's father.
Oh, God.
Who was shocked that someone had stolen his deceased child's identity.
Yeah.
So
I'm having to relive that fucking trauma.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kimberfer.
Kimberfer, yeah. Investigators also learned that Kimberfer was reported missing by her mother in 2004, whenever she was 36, and that her mother had waited 8 years to report her daughter missing.
Oh.
So she was not missed.
No, she was not missed.
Yeah.
Why the fuck even report her at that point, Mom?
Right.
Like 8 years has gone by? Like, well, we can't wait a full decade. We gotta...
8 years? Why say something now? I don't know. That was weird.
Was she a middle child like me? Because my mom probably would wait about 8 years for me. Clinton, she would call immediately. Derek, she would call
the day before he went missing.
Yeah, yeah. Derek, the day of he went missing. And then they'd be like, oh, yeah, I guess we hadn't seen that Dustin guy around.
Stop it. My next line, she was the oldest of three children. but 8 years.
God damn.
Haven't you just let it go at that point?
Yeah, like, I guess she's not coming back.
Yeah, I don't know. There might be something about that later, maybe. I can't remember. So anyways, investigators also speak with as many people as they could find who knew the real Kimberfer. They got into contact with someone she dated for a few years named Tim Barnes, who stated, quote, "Well, Kim, she can be the most charming, lovable person ever, and then just kind of snap," end quote. Apparently, she was a very jealous and controlling person and had very violent tendencies. That same Tim guy said that she shot his cat and then stabbed him in the chest and then bit his father on his leg. In that order. I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
And then we called the cops and we got this lady committed.
That's not how it went.
Apparently not.
They also got into contact with a mutual friend that Kimberfer and her younger brother, Bob, had when they were teenagers. And he stated that over the course of a summer, Kimberly went from Miss Popular cheerleading queen to someone who was downright scary. And that one night, Kim and her brother got into this huge fight, and Kimberly then snuck into his room while he was sleeping and smashed his face in with a baseball bat, knocking out majority of his teeth. Woof.
I'm thinking we got some kind of mental illness going on.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, so my mom.
Didn't she?
She?
Didn't she do that?
She snuck into my uncle's bedroom while he was, her brother, while he was taking a nap while they were kids and punched him in the face for some slight that had taken, you know, that she had taken earlier.
Yeah.
And this is also the same person that she almost cut his finger off with hedge clippers.
That's true.
Okay, so
we need to keep eyes on Gailey.
We need to keep eyes on her. All right?
Oh my God. So yeah, so that was crazy. He also said that in 1987, same brother, Bob, and one of his friends were riding their motorcycles together and were in a terrible accident in which the friend did not survive, and they're pretty sure that Kimberly is the one who ran both of them off the road.
What?
Yes.
Holy hell.
Yeah. So detectives also learned that Kimberfer had 17 different aliases, with several different driver's licenses in several different states. Tim Barnes stated that he and Kim would often visit the graveyard where her father was buried, and instead of going to her father's grave, she would search for graves of people close to her own age.
Oh.
Whose identities she could steal.
How is she stealing these things?
She had the social, she had the addresses. I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
And also, okay, I gotta say, they keep showing Kimberfer, they keep showing her photo, and she said she was 50, to which I did not believe. I thought she was like 35.
She probably is only 35.
She's actually 50.
Well.
And she, hate to say it, but looked very good for her age. She doesn't now, but whenever she was sitting in the interrogation room, she kept saying, "I'm 50." I was like, "No, you're not. You're like 35. She actually is 50, though.
Okay.
Which is weird. But anyways.
Well, I guess you don't live with much stress when you change your name and identity every couple years.
That's true. But she ages very quickly once she's behind bars and is super not cute. And we will get to it. And I will show you photos.
Okay.
Okay.
So we know she's got some sociopathic tendencies.
Yeah. Yeah.
For years.
Oh, there's more.
Oh.
There's a lot more. So a man named, this is a wild name, Zylon Lousy, married Kimberly twice in the early 90s while she was going by the name Melissa McKernan. And he described Kimberly simply as crazy.
Okay.
Kimberly was a mother.
Shut the fuck up.
She married another man named Tim Edwards, and Kim gave birth to a son in 1996. This Tim knew Kimberly as Miranda McKernan. Despite her name being Miranda at this time, she put the name Christina Brooks on their son's birth certificate.
No red flags there, buddy.
No.
None.
No, it's fine. It's fine. And Kimberly's son was actually removed from her home in 1999.
When he was five.
Yeah.
No, 99?
96. Yes, three.
Sorry.
So she decided to go to the social services office with a gun in an attempt to get her son back. And whenever that didn't work, she skipped town and never spoke to Tim or her son ever again.
That's what she's on the run for.
Well, yeah. Not this made-up bank robber from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
one time, I think it was either 2005 or 2006-ish, Kimberly befriended someone on Facebook who she was interested in, and the next day she drove from Florida to Texas to meet him for lunch. While at this lunch, she proposed to him.
How thirsty is this damn woman?
To which he was like, no. And promptly blocked her on all social media.
And burned his phone.
And later learned that she had been stalking him on Facebook under 7 different profiles.
It's like she's got 7 different profiles in her fucking
in
head.
In her head. I know.
Okay. God damn.
It's still not over.
We're not done with Kimberfer.
We're not done with Kimberfer. So she got married a second time. Well, I guess a third time.
Yeah, because her...
Or maybe a fourth
her
time.
Her and Xylon.
They got married twice.
How hard up for some nookie was that guy?
I don't know. Extremely. So this marriage did not last long. During a fight, she stabbed this new husband in the chest with a pair of scissors.
As is her MO.
Yeah. To which he said, quote, "I've known some crazy women, but she was out there. She played mind games," end quote.
That's not a mind game when they stab you, buddy.
That's physical violence.
That's attempted murder.
That's attempted murder.
All right. She's just not good at it.
She was just bad at murdering you. That was the end goal.
Yeah.
She just didn't get that far.
She didn't hit the throat like she was aiming for and hit the chest. Fucking idiot. Ooh, she plays mind games. No.
She straight up tried to kill you. Oh my God. Okay. In 2009. Kimberly rented a room from a guy in Clearwater, Florida, under the name Jennifer Seibert, who she accused of entering the room whenever she wasn't there and peeing all over her bed. She didn't last long there either before she was evicted.
Shocker.
Yeah. Surprised she didn't try to stab him.
Seriously.
2014 is whenever Kimberly went to hair school. Two incidents from this. One time, she... So weird. She, during middle of school, students are everywhere, teachers are everywhere. She climbed into a lower cabinet, quote, just to see if she'd fit in it, end quote.
Yeah, because that's what normal, stable adults do.
I just want to see if I can squeeze in here real quick. Don't mind me. And another time, one of her fellow classmates had a bad sunburn and was peeling, and she asked the fellow classmate if she could keep her skin.
I'm getting strong serial killer vibes from this one. What?
Oh my God.
Nothing gross or creepy about that.
Or terrifying about that.
What the fuck? Yeah, I want to make a, you know, making a cover
Can
for
I
my
just
lamp.
Have your skin yeah, real
you're,
quick?
You're peeling it. You don't even
yeah,
need it
you're
anymore.
You're just going to throw it away.
Yeah, whatever. Come on.
It's just going to go on the ground. Okay, so by 2018, Kimberly had lived in 14 different states, 33 cities, and had at least 17 different aliases.
God damn. I mean, she might have gone crazy just trying to keep track of all of this shit.
Yeah, that's a lot. I would need several notebooks, several agendas, lots of binders.
I mean,
I know.
God damn.
Yeah. So, right before she was hired at the Tangles Hair Salon, She worked at a restaurant called Woody's for about a week. And I don't know why this made me laugh so hard, but I was like, I can't remember if I was reading an article or listening to someone recount this. And they said, the manager stated she saw her eat a pound of beef with her bare hands. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, like...
Was it cooked? Was it uncooked? Was that the jarring part?
That's not beef tartare, honey. That's just ground beef.
A pound of beef.
Is Woody's like Twin Peaks or Hooters? Is that the kind of place?
Probably.
I mean, that's the vibe.
It's like a bar.
Yeah. But I'm thinking scantily claddedness.
Oh, yes. I can see that. Yeah.
You know.
I know. Okay, so enough about the timeline. We have to get out of that timeline. We have to get away from it.
Jesus. Yeah, I feel like I need to go take a shower.
Oh, you will need a shower after this.
Oh, fuck.
So another thing that she does that is super not cute is... Okay, this is when she's in jail.
Okay.
She throws her shit at the guards.
I believe the inmates call that gassing.
And she would spit and cuss and say terrible things to the guards on duty. I can only assume things like I'm gonna
kill you.
I'm gonna chop your head off and kill your entire family. And
so what you're saying is that she's angling for that good behavior, get out early thing.
Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm. Not the insanity plea. Mm-mm. That's not it.
No.
It's the good behavior.
It's the good behavior.
Yep, you're right. Okay. So investigators are trying to gather as much evidence as possible against Kimberfer.
Whatever the fuck this woman's real name is.
Yeah. But they have yet to recover Jolene's remains.
And nobody. They never will.
Yeah. And nobody cases are notoriously difficult to prosecute.
Yeah. Everything they got is very circumstantial.
Yeah. She moved the car. There's blood on the scissors.
Everything can be explained. I mean, the moving.
Although
the car,
there was a large, substantial amount of blood in the hair salon.
Yes, but I wasn't there.
Didn't have to be her, though.
I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Now, you did say that the camera behind the salon, though, it was clear and we could see that it was, in fact, Jennifer throwing these trash bags away.
Oh, it was 100% her.
Okay, so that's going to be rather... Okay, so that's not...
That's not nothing.
That's not nothing.
Yeah. But they do find some very compelling evidence in Kimberly's cell phone. The girl was doing a lot of Googling, such as...
How to get rid of a body. How to cut up a body. Best place to hide a body.
Basically, yeah. Well, actually, well, sort of. Okay, so here's some of the things. Coworker guilty of murder. And coworker not found. And Jennifer Seibert, which is her own name.
Yeah.
And hair studio. And... Coworker guilty of murder, missing person, body not found, and nobody, no crime.
Nobody, no crime.
Is that a song?
No, it's No Woman, No Cry.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know the Bob Marley song?
No. That's you and Gaylene and Harley. That's all your... I'm not...
Ouch.
I like Bob Marley. He's just like, I'm not gonna just listen to him. Don't look at me like that. I like it. I didn't grow up listening to it. Whereas I know you did.
I wouldn't say I grew up listening to him, but my God woman. my God.
I do like Bob Marley.
But you can't
I'm
just
not going to go out of my way to just sit and listen to...
Three Little Birds?
That's a good one.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Okay.
So there's these terrible Google searches.
Yes.
Yikes. Despite never recovering remains, on September 7th, 2018, Kimberly is indicted on first-degree murder charges by a jury of her peers.
Okay.
And things just go way downhill from here. So, Kimberly is looking rough. She's still throwing her shit and smearing it all over the walls and windows in her cell. She's literally losing her mind. What little she had of it.
I was gonna say, like...
And she undergoes a mental evaluation to see if she's fit to stand trial.
Oh, boy.
Kimberly was diagnosed with delusional disorder, which is like exhibiting behaviors that are not based on any sort of fact or reality. But another psychologist was brought in and was like, yeah, she's not delusional. She's just fucking weird and crazy and has some sort of personality disorder, but she's not delusional.
She knows the difference between right and wrong.
Yes. So there's no way to plea insanity here,
okay.
Which I'm pretty sure was the goal of her actions. And the judge is actually the one to make the final decision, and he says that, yes, Kimberly was fit for trial.
Okay, good.
Kimberly's trial begins in December of 2021, and 3 years of incarceration has not been kind to her. Do you remember Nancy Brophy's mugshot? It's essentially. Hold on, let me... Let me show it to you.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that prison life, not stress-free, especially when you're probably pissing off everybody around you, because if you're spreading shit all over your cell, that means everybody in that pod can probably smell shit all day long. And if I have to live near somebody who's literally wallowing in their own shit, I'm going to make their life as miserable as I fucking can, because they're making mine miserable.
Yes. Now, there's worse photos than this, but this is the progression of her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, she's lost a fuckload of weight, too.
Oh, we'll get to that. Okay.
Well, prisoners aren't known for their cuisine.
That's true. Oh, we're getting to it right now. Oh. So, during her imprisonment, Kimberly went on several hunger strikes.
Okay.
She went into prison weighing about 196, and by 2020, she weighed as low as 74 pounds.
So they're literally having to medically feed her.
Yes. And these hunger strikes were due to her thinking that the prison was trying to poison her.
Oh, yeah. That's
yes.
Right.
Mm. Yes. Classic. Yeah. Classic prison poisoning.
That's right.
As we all know about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So during the trial, prosecution states that when Jolene approached Kimberly about exposing who she really was, Kimberly snapped, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And Kim was not going to let Jolene, quote, ruin her life and turn her into the FBI, end quote.
Even though the FBI didn't give two shits about her.
Could have cared less. Could not have cared less. And that the two began fighting, Kimberly reached for a pair of scissors and started stabbing Jolene Cummings to death. On December 9th, 2021, the jury convicted 53-year-old Kimberly Lee Kessler of first-degree murder and grand theft auto, and she was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole at Women's Prison in Ocala, Florida.
I lived in Ocala.
You did?
Yeah, when I was like a baby.
Oh. What would you like to say to Kimberly?
Oh my god. She can fuck all the way off. Is that really her name, though? Do we ever really find out who she really...
Real name is Kimberly Lee Kessler.
Okay.
Yep. And she really was 50 years old.
So she's...
So weird.
So she's 53. She's in jail now.
She is. I tried to find more, like, up-to-date stuff. Couldn't find anything. The latest thing I found was from, like, late last year.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still in prison. Still probably not eating... Or eating minuscule amounts.
Hopefully she starves herself to death.
That would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good for...
Save the taxpayers some money. And seems like a horrible way to die.
It does. But she is bringing it on herself, so...
Fuck her.
Yeah.
All right. Hit me up with some fun facts.
Well, not super fun. I got a couple more paragraphs. So, Jolene's remains have still not been found to this day, which is sad. And Jolene's sons live with their father, Jason number one, and her daughter lives with Jolene's mother, Ann Johnson. And the boys were 3 and 4, and the daughter was 10 at the time of their mother's murder.
And goddamn.
And then I've got, this is like one giant quote from an article I found. So it says, a public park is not the typical place where one would go to grieve a loved one, but the memorial bench to his wife, Jolene, at Buchanan Park in Hilliard is all Jason and his children have. Quote, they don't have a gravesite to go visit, Jason said. This is the only thing they have to remind them of their mama, end quote.
I'd go plant a tree somewhere.
Yeah, better or maybe they did.
Better than a bench.
There might be a bench.
You said there was a bench. We don't know if there's a tree.
Oh, you're right. In this article, it states, do you talk to your kids about their mom? And Jason says, they ask a lot of questions about her. They know she's in heaven and being looked after. They think that she is their guardian angel.
God, I wish that that were true. I hope that's true, but...
And then this reporter asked, if you could say one more thing to Jolene, what would it be? And Jason said, I don't think y'all have enough film in that camera. We miss her and love her every day. Which is very sad. And I did find Jolene's business Facebook page, and her last post is from April 28th, 2017, and it's a photo of one of her clients who had super long hair, and Jolene had cut most of it off, and the client's hair was donated to someone in need.
Aww.
And her personal Facebook page, the last post on there was from January 17th, 2018, just 4 months before she was brutally murdered, and she was showing off her new Ford truck that she had just gotten, the truck that Kimberly later removed from the crime scene.
And that eventually basically got her caught.
It did, yeah.
And thank you for being stupid, Kimberly.
I know. God damn. I was going to put a fun, well... I was trying to find fun facts, and I really looked for a long time to find, like, funny hairdresser stories. Mm-hmm. Couldn't really find anything. But then I went on this, like, stream of consciousness, and I was like, people being stabbed with things, maybe, like, a funny stabbing, trying to think of something. And there really are none. But do you know who Phineas Gage is?
I do. He got a big pole stuck through his head, and it changed his personality completely.
He did. And I was going to tell you that little story, but then I started looking into it. I was like, holy fuck, I could write a book on this.
Yes, you could, and they did.
They did. So it'll have to be its own separate little thing.
Yeah.
So that's...
He helped kind of kickstart the mental health kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. Crazy. He was super nice dude.
Super nice dude turned into a real douche whistle.
Yeah, a real McAsshole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, God damn, honey.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think you are.
We did it. That took us 3 attempts to actually record this.
It did.
I might have been having an episode.
No might about it. You were having, in fact, an episode. But don't you guys have Instagram?
We do. It is at #murderpod. Spell it all out. And if you like this, give us 5 stars.
Give them 5 stars, yeah.
Rave, review, subscribe. We would really appreciate it because we have a lot of fun doing this and we want to hear y'all's feedback.
Absolutely.
Most definitely. And if you do leave a review, we will read it out loud on our next episode that we record.
Anything new for the hash brownies?
Nothing new. I do have one that is written. That needs to be recorded.
Okay.
That's going to be a fun kind of insurance kind of fucked up thing.
Okay.
So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. And
check them out on Patreon.
Oh, yes. Check us out on the Patreon. I do believe it is patreon.com/#murder. And that's it. Now we have to figure out dinner plans because I told Harley I'd text her 2 hours ago and I forgot until this very moment.
Lovely.
So let's go figure that out, honey.
Okay, well, we love you guys.
Thanks for hanging out. Love you. Bye.
Bye. When you're dating a woman and she stabs you, that's not playing mind games, folks. That's attempted murder.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye.
It's physical harm.
God damn.
Thank you for listening to #murder. Episodes are written and edited by Alex Lewis and Scarlett Hipton. Our intro and outro music is written and played by Derek Branton. Our cover art is by the lovely Lauren Walker. And our name was created by the most wonderful, supportive, and super hot boyfriend, Dustin Branton. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or ideas, you can reach us at #murderpod@gmail.com. That's hashtag murderpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to tell all of your friends about us. Thanks. Bye.
We should go visit her.
We should not. Testing.
If we've tested. We're ready. Let's ready. Let's go.
No, we can test one more time.
No, we don't need to test.
Test.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
To blow over the fact that we did. It was fun and you won. Investigators.
Yeah, we're going to have to edit this. Oh boy.
I'll fix it.
Hold on.
What?
It's 76 degrees in here.
Okay.
But the cooling is set to 71. Okay. Never mind. It'll just be hot. But that is worrisome. Okay.
It says maintenance. It's flashing maintenance.
It's just a reminder to change the air filter, but I already did that. I need to change them again here on the 5th.
Huh. That was an extremely interesting conversation we just had.
Sorry.
Now so.
Wow, you just got real redneck real quick there. So southern all of a sudden.
Nassau.
Nassau.
Oh my god.
The struggle is real today.
It's real.
Light up a room. You should never light up a room.
It's so loud.
Is there are people going to be able to hear that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
All right.
It's scaring Lily.
We are starting out in Fernandina Beach, Florida.
Florida. Oh, boy.
I know. It's just north of Nac. What is wrong with me?
A lot. A lot is wrong with you. Jesus. Get your shit together, woman. What the fuck is happening here?
I'm still tired, I guess.
Use your fucking words.
Don't look at me like that.
This is my face.
Once again, it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody.
Blah.
Nassau County. Nassau.
I didn't say anything. And you actually, I thought you pronounced it pretty well right there.
I did. What is wrong with me?
We got squirrel ass over here. You can't stop laughing. We got Moni. You want me to slap you? You want me to slap? What do you need?
I don't
jab,
know.
Jab. Oh. You have literal tears in your eyes.